Greetings. Hello. Hello and welcome to the Cloud English Podcast. My name is Luke. It is Sunday. I always look over and check the date because I actually never check it right before. I mean, I know, but for some reason I feel like I need to go and look every single time. It is Sunday, October 15th, 2024. It's great to be here. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining. We have much to talk about today. In this episode of the Cloud English Podcast, we're going to be talking about practice. Practice. It's an obvious thing to talk about. Practice is an essential component of improving in any way, right? Why am I on this slide? I should be here. Oh, hey-o. There we go. This is a little teaser for what's coming up. We're going to be talking about the Seinfeld method. So, I forgot which view I was on. Anyway, so we'll be getting to that, as well as other things. So, if you don't understand the Seinfeld method, don't worry, we'll get into it. It's a very interesting way to be more consistent with your English practice. And we're going to be kind of getting into that in some depth, because consistency really is, well, extremely important in not just language learning and progress on your English fluency, but many areas of life, right? Yes. We're also going to be talking about how we can practice English with images. Now, you could have always practiced images, English with images, right? There's always a way to do that, but there is now a, let's say, more in-depth way to do that, which we're going to go through. We're going to be spending a little bit of time in ChatGPT. We're also going to be checking out Elsa Speak, and if we have time, we'll get to one other area where we're going to be talking about idioms. English idioms. Useful English idioms. Yes. If we have time, we'll see. So, great to have you here. Those watching live, feel free to ask questions. I'll see if I can answer any interesting ones that may come up. Although it's not a dedicated Q&A session, sometimes we do those. I will see what I can do. Those watching who may like to listen, you can get the audio version in the links in the description on your favorite podcast platform. So, gnat flying around me. And right before we started, one just went and just went right into my coffee. Why? I mean, why make that your life choice? Could have kept flying around, would have been fine for you. Now, definitely not alive. And now I can't drink my coffee. So we both lose. So explain that to me. How does that make sense? It makes no sense. Gnats are illogical. What was I saying? Right. If you want to listen, you can do that on any podcast platform. Links in the description. You can also check the link tree. That works too. And if you're listening and you prefer to watch, which, you know, whatever, no judgment. Either way is great in my view. Then you can do that also in the links in the description, wherever you are, okay? On YouTube or Facebook. Free course, of course, in the links in the description. Grab that. Very important. And you can get, as usual, 30% off the annual, well, the monthly membership for the first 12 months. So in a way, it's annual. So feel free to do that too. If you want to check out the full courses, right? And you're tired of me mentioning the free course, and then you go and check it and you say, hey, wait a second, it's shorter. It's only an hour long. It is only an hour long. If you want one of the, you know, 12-hour courses, unfortunately, those are not free. So sorry. But they're also worth it, in my view. According to reviews, that's what it looks like anyway. All right. So let's get into it. Those joining, thanks for doing so. We can talk about, I think, our first topic, which is practicing English with images. So let's do that now. you may have tried to improve your English with pictures. It can be a good way to practice descriptions and all kinds of things. We're going to get into it, right? But I want to talk about it now because you have an additional tool now. We're going to be using ChatGPT to explore more in depth how we can learn and practice English with images. Some of this stuff that we're going to talk about, you will be able to do on your own without a tool like ChatGPT. Some of it, if you want to get feedback, for example, you may be able to do with a partner. And some of it is perhaps best done with a tool like ChatGPT. I know not everyone has GPT-4, okay? I know that. I use that because, in my view, it pays for itself a million times over. It's insane how worth it is, in my view. The amount of time and effort that I'm allowed to save by using it pays for itself so many times. I can't even believe it. So to me, it's completely worth it. But I understand if not everyone uses it. I'm sure eventually, you know, all of the versions of it will have the ability to look at images, right? But that's what's going on here. You can upload a picture and then ask ChatGPT to analyze it and ask it questions. So think of it like this. You give a picture to a person, and now you have an ability to practice with that person based on that picture, okay? So let's just say we want to use it for pure discovery, pure vocabulary discovery, perhaps sentence patterns, right? Structures for description. So for this, it would be a little bit challenging to do this without ChatGPT unless you have, for example, a book, maybe a travel book or something, and it has the descriptions of the images in the travel book or in a travel blog below or beside or around it, right? So that's great. That's a great way to learn how to pick out, you know, interesting, useful words and phrases, to master those, to see them in context. That's good, actually. You can do that on your own. But if you have an image and you want to use that to learn, and you want to generate a description, then it might be a little bit challenging. Okay, so let's just, since ChatGPT doesn't know where my goat is, let's see if I can, hold on. How do I just grab it? Can I just pull it over? Can I just drag and drop? Let's see if I can just drag and drop. Let's do this with this picture, and I'm just going to see if I can drag and drop. Right, here we go. Hold on. Okay, add anything. That's not super, the drag and drop is not super intuitive, to be honest. But okay, let's do the drag and drop. Here we go. All right, now I'm not even going to ask anything, okay? All I'm going to do is hit enter after I upload the image or send. Oh, enter doesn't work, okay? For images, enter doesn't work. And we're going to just look at what comes out naturally. Now, if I have follow-up questions, I can ask, right? But we're going to just look at what comes out naturally. It looks like your goat is enjoying some goat yoga. And that is exactly what's going on here. There's a thing, it's called goat yoga. And so if I didn't know what this was, I could upload this picture and see if ChatGPT can figure it out. It looks like your goat is enjoying some goat yoga. This is a fun and popular activity where people do yoga while goats interact with them, often jumping on their backs or moving around them. It's believed to provide relaxation and a unique bonding experience with the animals. It's great to see both humans and goats having a good time. If you have any questions about the image or the activity, feel free to ask. Okay. Now, first thing we could do here is simply pick out things that are new and maybe write them down or understand them in context. Okay, is it important to know goat yoga? Well, you know, that is a thing now, so maybe. But there are some other, I think, interesting things going on. Bonding experiences. Okay, so what is a bonding experience? That's one thing I might want to dive into a little bit deeper. Now, I could ask directly that question, or I could explore bonding and what it means and how it's used on a website like the Free Dictionary, right? Okay, maybe that's an interesting one to pick out. I also see here some interesting relationship aspects in the way this description is phrased. This is a fun and popular activity where people do yoga while goats interact with them, often jumping on their backs or moving around them. Okay, jumping on their backs or moving around them. Why are they moving around them? Does that just mean near them or actually in circles? So I might try to maybe explore that structure a little bit more deeply. Again, whatever it is that is new or interesting or unknown to you, right? Just uploading a picture and asking for nothing is going to give you a general description, but we can go into further depth. So we could say perhaps, could you explain what bonding means in this context? Okay. Now can I hit enter? Oh, geez. Okay. What? I feel like I used to be able to hit enter in ChatGPT. Am I crazy? Am I losing my mind? Certainly. In this context, bonding refers to the process of forming a connection, relationship between two beings. When it comes to activities like goat yoga, participants often experience a sense of connection with the goats. This bond can arise from physical interaction, like a goat climbing onto a participant, or from simply being in close proximity. And so now we kind of keep going down the rabbit hole of, okay, now there are new things I can pick out. And you just keep exploring, okay, what is proximity and how is that used? And maybe you know that, but the important thing is to, for you, what are the new things or the interesting things? And you're using the image as a way to pull out and dive deeper. So you start on the surface and you dive deeper into one, and then that brings out something new. You dive deeper into that. That brings out something new. You dive deeper into that. Okay. So discovery, new vocabulary, new sentence structures, right? But then if we want, and by the way, we can explore individual sentences by, for example, asking for an explanation of what bonding means. And we could go even deeper. We could say, could you please use bonding in, well, why don't we do it? Could you use the word bonding in a few other example sentences and explain any other senses or forms of the word? Got it. Okay. So this maybe is a way to dive deeper into the specific word. And I'm just picking one out, right? This is just an example. But the important thing is that it's this back and forth process, which I consider to be very playful and fun, right? The term bonding is versatile and can be used in various contexts. Here are some example sentences. Parent-child relationship, mother-infant bonding is crucial in the first few hours after birth. Okay, and then I get an explanation. Friendship, the camping trip was a great bonding experience for the entire group. Okay, bonding refers to a strengthening of ties or friendships. Okay, three, molecular chemistry. Oh, well, that seems very different. That's not friendships or motherhood. A covalent bonding occurs when atoms share electrons. Okay, so it's used in the same way with kind of the same meaning, except without maybe the emotional aspect. Dental procedure. The dentist used a bonding agent to attach the brace to the tooth. Okay, so I'm seeing it's used for a lot of different things. That seems to have a physical meaning. It seems to have a molecular meaning. It seems to have an emotional meaning or a meaning related to relationships. But there is a common thread of kind of things being stuck together or bound together, right? Very interesting. Construction, finance. Okay, so you can explore that if you like. And I think the finance one, bonding might refer to the issuance of bonds. Does bonding have anything to do with, I don't think that one has anything to do with the others in terms of meaning. Although, wait a second. No, I think it does. Actually, I think it does. I believe it does. Yeah, I think they are all, they have a common thread all the way through them as far as I can tell. And you could go even deeper. You could say, for one of these, could you explain more in depth how to use bonding in terms of finance, right? With some more example sentences and a deeper explanation. Or you could ask for further examples or a quiz or something like that. There's so many ways to explore language. And we just picked out one word, right? Okay, but now I want to go back to the image. Okay, let's get back to the goat yoga, right? Back to the image. Let's just say the image. I want to learn how to use prepositions correctly with this image. Give me a description of the image using prepositions to help me learn them. That's a pretty rough request, but that's a simple way to come up with it. Okay, so now it's going back to the image, and now remember we're looking at the goat yoga, right? We have a goat, we have some people, we have a beach, right? So we want to now use this to explore or practice a specific part of speech, in this case, a preposition. The goat is on the woman's back. The participants are, this is also very accurate, right? The participants are on mats. The woman's hands are on the mat. The woman's feet are under her body. The goat is facing toward the other participants. One of the participants is bending over her mat. The woman's hair hangs down her back. The event is taking place outside. The mats are laid out on the ground. Trees and plants can be seen in the background. There is gravel beneath the mats. The woman with the ponytail is wearing a red shirt. The participants with the goats are doing yoga. Okay, so you can see the idea here. We're exploring now a specific type of word, understanding a little bit more how it's used. That might give us deeper insight into, for example, prepositions. Now, the accuracy is not always 100%, but you can get much more insight than perhaps you had before. And again, that's just one image. We could do the same thing, for example, with an image of a living room, which often has, you know, quite interesting, let's say, interesting relationships. So let's upload this one between objects. I want to practice prepositions, and hopefully it can remember what I was trying to do. I want to practice prepositions with this image as well. Okay, so hopefully we get the same sort of thing. And then if I want to practice it more deeply, I could ask for, so you have a living room scene here, I could ask for a quiz or something like that. Of course, let's dive into a detailed description of this image using a variety of prepositions. Okay. Position. Two woven pendant lights hang above the coffee table. Excellent. A series of framed art pieces are displayed on the wall behind the sofa. There's a potted plant to the left of the lamp. The round coffee table is in front of the sofa. A decorative bowl is placed on the coffee table. Yep, we got a decorative bowl on the coffee table. This is all really, really accurate. The room is illuminated by natural lighting. Now, that's a really interesting one because, wait a minute, the room is illuminated by natural light coming from the window on the right. There's a lot of stuff happening in that particular example there. We could learn a lot from that. A colorful rug lies beneath the furniture. There's a plant in the corner near the window. Okay, you get the idea. Again, you have to take this much further. I'm just giving you a sense for how you can explore this. Now, before, if you're practicing with this, you can look at the image and try to write these down first, then make the request, then see how well your prepositions match the prepositions that you get from ChatGPT of the image or based on the image. And I want to be very clear, we're just dipping our toes in here. You could explore all types of parts of speech, all types of structures for description. And I'm going to now talk about how you can use this as a conversation starter, as a way to practice your spoken English. If you're using the app, right, the ChatGPT app, you can speak and do speech to text and actually have a conversation. And I believe very soon, it's crazy to me that at this very moment, there isn't speech to speech, right, or having a real conversation. I believe it's been announced already. I just don't have it yet, unfortunately, which is very disappointing. But very, very soon, you'll be able to have basically a live conversation with ChatGPT about anything. You can ask these questions or you can ask any others. Now, if you wanted to, instead of just having the descriptions, you could say, give me the sentences with blanks where prepositions would be so that I can test myself. I will fill in the blanks and then ask you to check my answers. Okay? And so you could do something like this. There, again, probably a more precise way to ask that. But let's just imagine for a second we hadn't already generated these sentences. The woven pendant lights hang the coffee table. A series of framed art pieces is displayed. Huh? The wall, huh? The sofa. So this is a really great way to push ourselves to find the correct preposition. We would write down the answers, right? We would say 7, the colorful rug lies, let's say, I believe it's in front of the furniture, I think. So 7, I think, let me check the picture. I gotta check. Okay, well, there's some furnitures on the rug. And it's also in front of the furniture. I don't know how specific it's being. I wanna say in front of and under, right? I'm gonna risk it. So I'm gonna do 7 in front of and under. Okay, let's see if 7 is correct. In front of and under. And you would just go through and do all of these. Come on. Don't say I'm wrong. Great. You filled in the blanks for sentence number 7. Let's see how it looks. A colorful rug lies in front of the furniture and under the furniture. Your use of in front of seems to be an additional insertion. The original intent was to express the rug's position beneath the furniture. Okay, I see where you're coming from, ChatGPT, but to be totally honest, you got to look carefully. That rug is in front of that sofa. It is, absolutely. So, all right. I mean, ChatGPT is right in a sense because most of the furniture is beneath, right? But, or under. But I think you could also say that I'm partially right. Let's try another one here really quickly. Let's see. Number 10. The coffee table faces the sofa adorned in various... Okay, let's do 11. I like 11. It's a different style because I hadn't actually seen that answer. The sofa adorned 11 with various cushions. I'm going to go with there. Let's see. 11 with. All right, let's check your answer. The sofa adorned with various cushions provides a comfortable seating area. That's correct. Well done. Yeah. And I could continue, but again, the possibilities are almost endless here for practice. All right. Now, we've practiced using prepositions to kind of push ourselves to explore the relationships between things. We've looked at how we can dive deeper into specific words and phrases and structures. We've looked at how we can get a simple bit of text about something. Maybe it's a picture you take on a vacation. You want to get a basic description and then pick out some of those useful individualized words and structures, right? We've looked at that. Now, what if I want to have a conversation? What if I want to do that? Okay, so let's have a conversation. I'm going to choose a different image. And I'm going to say, let's have a discussion around the ideas connected to this image. That's too complex. I'm just kind of roughly describing what I want to do. Let's see what we get here. Now we have a woman sitting near her colleagues at her desk. She looks pretty stressed out. She's not having a great day, obviously. So the image showcases a woman seemingly in distress or deep thought, could be, at her workspace in what looks like an office environment. Here are some ideas and topics connected to this image. So I think she could be in deep thought. You know, I would definitely vote for distress or work, you know, office place, workplace stress. I just noticed the top of this is lost goat, can't locate. Okay. Workplace stress. Okay. The woman's posture and expression suggest that she may be overwhelmed or stressed. It brings up the topic of the demands and pressures of modern day jobs and how they can affect mental well-being, work-life balance, support system, ergonomics. While not the central theme, the setup brings up the subject of proper workplace ergonomics. Are employees given a comfortable and health-conscious environment to work in? Maybe, you know, too many colleagues too close to my elbows. Burnout. I like all of these. Okay, so let's discuss burnout and workplace stress. But also, if I make any mistakes with my English, please let me know. I am trying to improve. Now, I might be doing this speech to... I might be doing the speech to text in the app. I could do that. We're doing it here for now, but we could definitely do that. All right. So I'll guide our discussion on burnout and workplace stress, and also keep an eye on your English and offer corrections if needed. Okay. So first we define burnout. Great. What I'm hoping is to get a question that I can then answer to sort of kick off a discussion. So let's see if, giving me too many definitions. Let's hit stop here and just say, just give me discussion question that I can answer around the topic, okay? That's all I want. That's all I want, ChatGPT. Don't have to give me a whole thing about burnout, okay? Here's a discussion question for you. How do you think companies and organizations can implement, there's a word to look up, measures to prevent employee burnout and reduce workplace stress? Are there any strategies or changes you'd recommend based on personal experience or observations? Good. So then I might say my opinion about those things. And then if I make any mistakes, grammatical mistakes, if I'm speaking, then spelling mistakes wouldn't be relevant and punctuation wouldn't be relevant, but grammatical mistakes, tense mistakes, phrasing mistakes, odd phrasing perhaps, then I can get hopefully some feedback and corrections. Now, if you want to get very precise with it, you really have to structure these prompts much better than what I've done here. That's something that's covered in my ChatGPT course, where we look at a prompt which is insanely long because we want to make sure the whole thing is structured correctly and we're getting the right type of feedback. This is just a quick request based on the image. But from all this, you can see that just with a couple of pictures, we can begin to explore, interact with, play with language without having to think of a topic, without having to search on the internet for an image and an associated description. You just upload a picture and you are off to the races, learning new language, learning new patterns, practicing those, diving deeper into those, working on the things that are specifically challenging to you. For example, prepositions, the relationships between objects. Learning about them, but also practicing them with things like quizzes. And then more generally, having a starter for conversations that you can use then to practice speaking casually, especially if you're doing speech to text, which I would recommend that you do, right? All this from images without having to think of anything. That's the key thing, I think. So this is very powerful. I'm still exploring ways to use this. I'm still exploring what's possible here, but it's pretty cool. If you play with it, if you discover anything, let me know in the comments. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, and also get a free course in the links in the description. All right. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, seems like I missed a couple things. Am I Chinese? I don't know. Are you not talking to me? Got it. A couple of people talking to each other in the chat here. Okay. Not me. Okay, any questions here? I can understand many, but I barely can't blend this. Okay, I'm just trying to get through this here. One second. Does GPT-4 need a cost? Yes, GPT-4 is not free. It's not free. And the difference between GPT 3.5 and 4 is sometimes small and sometimes very pronounced, right? For simple tasks, they're very similar. For complex tasks and these sorts of new features like this that we looked at, not even close. English, Chinese are boring for me. Okay, not sure what you mean by that. Osman said English books for learning English. I would say instead of, can you tell us a short reading book, a short book to read? One book that I always tend to recommend, just because it's short, it's a novel, it's kind of interesting, is The Old Man and the Sea. That's a pretty good one, by Ernest Hemingway. The Old Man and the Sea. It's kind of a classic novel, almost short story. It's very short. The language is not that complicated. And so that would be that's one I tend to recommend pretty often. That's what I tend to do. I tend to recommend it. I recommend it. I tend to recommend. Yep, sure thing. The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. Considered a classic. Simple story, simple language. Fairly easy to read. Definitely interesting. Yeah. Yes. Okay, I think next we're going to get into consistency. The Seinfeld technique. Hope everyone's having a great week. Had a great week. We'll have a great week, whatever it is. Hope everybody's doing okay, staying safe, and having fun and learning. Sleeping well. Eating plenty of vegetables. Drinking enough water. Doing goat yoga. I mean, it's hard to be healthy unless you do goat yoga, right? That's what I've always said. You can't really be healthy unless you're doing goat yoga. You know what I mean? I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say. It's hard to be healthy without goat yoga. How can you be healthy without goat yoga? How can you expect me to stay in shape if I'm not doing goat yoga? Everyone should have a goat and do goat yoga with their goat. If you're not doing goat yoga, are you really living? Can we just quickly see goat yoga? I want to see people doing goat yoga. All right, let's see here. Oh my goodness. All right, let's check this out. All right. Goat yoga, the latest craze. Rocky Mountain goat yoga. All right, let's check this out. Might have to mute that. I don't want the music to be claimed. Mute. Wow, we have a bunch of people here. Has the music stopped? No. I have a goat yoga teacher. It looks like it's a fenced in area. Well, that's a pretty big goat standing on her. I mean, you would expect it to be only tiny goats, but that is not a particularly small goat. Seems like some of these goats aren't very dedicated to doing the goat yoga. Kind of just hanging out, eating grass. Slacker goats. Some of these goats. Okay. They're doing their job. They're jumping. So it seems like they've been trained to jump up on people. Do goats naturally want to jump up on people? Or do you have to train? Are they special goat yoga goats where you train the goats to jump up on people? And then, you know, then they like to do it after that. It would seem like their hooves would be somewhat painful. After the hour-long session, the goats get sent back to their mothers. Okay, so they're all adolescent goats. Okay, that makes sense. All right, you know what? I approve. Is there cat yoga? Okay, that's a recommended. Here we go. Cat yoga is pig yoga. The Old Man and the Sea. Where do I find it? A bookstore. On the internet. Search The Old Man and the Sea and buy a copy. That would be my recommendation. Pig Yoga. 20-minute intermediate yoga flow. Yoga with pigs fundraiser. There's no way those pigs are jumping on top of people. There's no way. But yeah, you don't have to. Oh, I thought that was the other person. Okay. Are these pigs jumping on top of anyone? That seems like an unsafe idea, that people could get crushed or have major spine damage if there are pigs. I need to know if this lady has any pigs jumping on top of anybody. Skip. Those are big pigs. Those are big pigs. See if there's any music.
Remember a few years ago, I
think we're okay.
A yoga class here as a fundraiser for Sweet Sanctuary Animal Rescue. So if you already practiced with myself and the pigs, we're doing it again today. So please stay tuned to the end of the video.
How much are the pigs involved?
The property. We were able.
How much are the pigs involved? Are they jumping on anyone? Is she just doing yoga near the pigs? Are the pigs jumping on anyone at any point? I need to scrub through this. Nope. Okay. Do not watch this video. It's just a lady doing yoga in front of some pigs, apparently. And at no point, it seems, do any pigs jump up on anyone. All right. Oh, what about cat yoga? Cat yoga. What about cat yoga? Cat yoga seems like that would be safe to let cats jump up on you, but cats can't be trained as well as goats. You know, you can train dogs and you can train goats, but it is very difficult to train cats to do anything. Okay, cat yoga, yes you can, from CNN. All right.
New York City is packed with people.
Can you CNN? And why is this on CNN?
Residents live here.
Shouldn't CNN be talking about more important things than whether or not you can do cat yoga?
Business travelers in the U.S. So.
Okay.
Do you always teach with cats?
No. No. This is a break from the chaos going on outside. But at the same time, it's definitely a unique attraction.
Once again, I need to know if there are any cats on people. There are goats on people. It's kind of pointless, in my opinion, if there are no cats jumping on anyone. I need to know this.
Go with the flow, literally. And it's nice to find that connection.
Okay, so there's cats in the room.
I like to sit and watch
the cats.
Sit and watch.
We do about a 45-minute, very standard vinyasa class.
Classic.
Sometimes they just like to sit and watch us. Sometimes they're running through the mats and climbing on people, so you never really know.
Okay, so they do climb on people a little bit. Seems like with the cats, it's a more chaotic situation, and that kind of aligns with my experience of cats. You can't really predict what cats are going to do. If they want to jump on you, they will. If they don't, they won't, and that's how cats are. So there you have it. We have three types of yoga. Animal yoga, goat yoga, cat yoga, and pig yoga. Goat yoga, the goats are going to jump on you. They're baby goats. It's going to happen. Cat yoga, it's an unknown. It's a chaotic situation. Pig yoga, it's just pigs as decorations, basically. Well, now that we've sorted that out, let's move on to our next thing, the Seinfeld method. So, how important is consistency in being good at anything? I think it's pretty obvious that it's very important, right? But it's easy to forget that as well. And so I'd like to talk about one way that you can create some consistency in your English practice so that you can have actual progress over time. One common issue is that people get excited and they focus and they study and they make progress for 2 weeks and then they give up. Or they're not very focused and they're so laid back and so general that they never really make progress because it's sort of like Monday and Thursday and the rest of the time, you know, they're not really doing anything. It's here and there, kind of just meandering, right? Well, this is where sort of the power of consistency comes in. And we can frame it in terms of the Seinfeld method. If you don't know Jerry Seinfeld, he is a comedian famous for the TV show called Seinfeld, right? So let's first talk about why consistency itself is important, and then we'll get into the method. So this is just more generally, right? And I think this stuff should be pretty, at least fairly obvious, right? If you, let's say, have an activity that you like to do that exposes you to English, maybe that's reading, maybe that's watching TV shows, right? If you have an activity that you like to do and you do it twice a week versus 7 days a week, right? Twice a week versus 7 days a week. In 1 week, it seems like that's not big, much of a difference. But if you actually think about that over a period of, let's say, 2 months, well, how many days is that in 2 months? Let's say there's 4 weeks in a month, 2 days a week, right? So 8, that's not very much. So you, in a whole month, that's how many days you're practicing? 8 days? Or excuse me, in 2 months, that's how many days you're practicing? Wait, no. 2 months would be 16. 1 month would be 8, right? So that doesn't seem like a lot. If you were doing that same activity every day, even if it's a simple activity, imagine how much that's going to build up, right? You're going to get way much more done. You're going to make way much more progress than skipping and doing it whenever you feel like it. This is obvious, right? Also, there's power in repetition. So if you're practicing something or learning something daily, even if it's the same thing, like you're learning a set of words or you're studying something, you're practicing some grammar, if you look at that every day, 5 days in a row or 7 days in a row, there is power in the repetition of looking at it in different ways, in different situations. That is going to make it stick more, make it easier for you to remember, and actually start using that. Let's say it's an idiom or whatever, right? So over time, that builds up, and eventually you don't have to force yourself to try to remember how to use it. You can just naturally use it. But if you're not reviewing that very often, inconsistently, maybe once a week, it's going to fade more easily. This is also part of something called the forgetting curve for people who do this technique, like the Anki approach for learning vocabulary and idioms and things like that, spaced repetition. This is based on this idea of the forgetting curve, where if you learn something, you forget it after a certain period of time. Then you remember it again, and then you forget it after another period of time. Then you remember it, and you forget it after another period of time. But each time, the curve changes so that eventually it becomes zero, where you don't forget it at all, right? So frequency is part of that, right? It's a very important part of that. This should all be pretty obvious. Okay, now, how can we actually do this? This idea comes from Jerry Seinfeld, but I think it's more broad, right? This has been around forever as a method, as a little thing that happens in human psychology. So number one, you have a clear goal, and that should be obvious, right? Okay, so what's the goal? If your goal is very general, very broad, like I want to be fluent in English, that's hard to achieve. So let's say your goal is to read 10 books this year. 10 English books this year. Wow. Let's say that your goal is to give 5 English presentations at work. Let's say that your goal is to learn 100 new English vocabulary words, really learn them. Let's say that your goal is to master 5 idioms a week, even 5, a small number, right? 5 idioms a week. Okay, whatever it is, make it clear, very clear. Then the idea is to have a calendar, and we'll talk about a variation of this that I use, but to have a physical calendar on a wall that you have to look at every single day. A big one of those big calendars, right? And every day that you do the thing that you've decided to get closer to your goal, you mark it somehow on the calendar, right? So you have a goal and you have some activities that you're going to do to get to that goal. It doesn't have to be the same activity every day, right? But you've decided, okay, these 4 or 5 activities will get me closer to my goal. You now have a calendar, and every day that you do what you said you were going to do, you make a mark. Now, if you do 4 days in a row, and then on the 5th day there's no mark on that calendar, that's not a very nice feeling. That's kind of a painful feeling in a way. You've let yourself down, right? That doesn't feel good. And so the next time when you start the next streak, it's called a streak, or several days in a row, you're a little less likely to give up the next time, right? Until eventually you can go that whole, for example, that whole month with a streak of consecutive days in a row where you did what you said you were going to do to get closer to your goal. And it's visual, right? So you have a mark on the calendar. You always see the calendar. You can't escape it. That's a key thing that Jerry Seinfeld mentioned with this technique, is you cannot escape seeing it. It's very prominent. It's there, right? So eventually you continue to extend and extend and extend the streaks until it's just continuous. And when you achieve these streaks, what you're doing is achieving consistency. It's a way to trick yourself into being consistent, because you want to, 7 days in a row, 8 days in a row. I didn't quite make a whole week. Well, try again next week, right? That's the key. It's a way to get to consistency. And we talked about the power of consistency being, well, if you were to do something twice a week for a whole month, that would only be 8 times. But if you were to do something 7 days a week for a whole month, that would be way more, depending on how long the month is, I suppose. 29, 30, or 31 days. Or 28 days if it's a leap year and it's February. Or is the leap year? Yeah. February is the length of days for a leap year, right? Whereas February, the normal length of days, and then on a leap year, it's 29. I forget. Anyway, so that's the basic idea. Now, as a quick variation of this, the one that I do is I use an app called Habitica, and you can set up daily activities, and you have to check it off daily. And if you don't check it off, you actually lose health. It's like a video game. It's called Habitica. I'm not sponsored by Habitica, but that's the one I use. And it's similar, because I don't really look at walls. So the calendar thing doesn't work as well for me. I pay attention to my phone more. So it's more painful to me if I miss that and I don't check it off every day, the thing that's important to me, right? So that's a variation. Find one that works for you. Just a few small things to keep in mind here. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew. So if you try to, well, if you say a goal that's very vague, be fluent in English by the end of the month, that's a terrible goal. It's not a good goal, period, but yeah, it has to be something that you can actually visualize, that's clear, getting to a certain number of something. As I said, just, I'm going to read a whole book this month, or I'm going to read 3 books this month, or I am going to write down 10 new words and or phrases or idioms every single week. You know, something like that. It should be a small goal at first, something achievable, right? You also want to think about the types of activities that get you there. You might describe 5 or 6 activities that you can do that get you closer to it. Maybe they're clearly defined, maybe not, but you have to know what they are at least well enough to say whether you did them or not. If it's so vague and unclear that you can say to yourself, I guess I did it, I don't know, check, then it doesn't really work. Yeah, you have to know clearly what the activity is, but that doesn't mean you can't mix it up. You don't have to do the same thing every day, right? And what I just said is part of staying accountable. Having activities not be well enough defined so that you just say, I guess I did that. I don't know. And I'll give myself, I don't want to lose my streak. So that it starts to lose its meaning. And so if you're not accountable to yourself and that starts to lose meaning, the whole thing kind of fails because you're not really doing it, but you're telling yourself that you are doing it. So you have to be honest and accountable to yourself. But at the same time, you don't want to go so far in the other direction where you're very strict with yourself. And when you miss a day because, I don't know, you had to attend your sister's wedding or, you know, you got lost in the forest or something, you don't hate yourself. You don't say, what an idiot, what a loser. I hate myself, right? You don't want to go that far with it because then it becomes a negative thing. The best thing to do is, okay, I missed a day. Let's see if I can, fresh start, new streak. 6 days in a row, pretty good. Let's see if I can do 8 days in a row this time. Right. So each time you're starting fresh, you're not hating yourself for missing. So finding that balance, being accountable and not hating yourself, not beating yourself up is, I think, very, very important, right? Over time, this kind of thing, and I'm not saying you have to, you know, follow this exact method, whatever works for you to have that accountability and to build up that consistency, particularly by tricking yourself to do streaks. The streaks thing is pretty powerful. This builds discipline, right? It kind of tricks you into becoming a disciplined person instead of just telling yourself every day what you're going to do. You have a goal you're working toward and a little challenge, right? It's a gamified way of learning that you're trying to achieve, which is how many days in a row can I do what I say I'm going to do? Builds discipline. It also boosts your confidence. Not only do your skills increase, not only do you get better at things as you move closer to your goal, but just in general, making progress can give you confidence. Certainly gives me confidence. If I really feel like I'm making steps, clear steps toward my goals, I feel more confident in general. This is also an issue with English learners. Confidence is a big one. People are just lost, wandering around. They don't know what to do or where to start or where to begin. But if you have a clear path, a clear idea where you're going, and you can see that you're getting there, then progress is obvious. I am making progress. And if you feel like you're making progress, that feels great. And so you're more likely to challenge yourself further. You're more likely to use the language. You're more likely to interact with others. A lot of great things can happen, right? And as I mentioned before, of course, it reinforces learning, meaning I learned something yesterday and I review it today, right? But then that helps me discover something else that deepens my understanding of it. And then the next day I learn something else that is connected to it. And so you start to build out this sort of network of ideas and words and language and references. And that's a very powerful thing too. And it comes because of consistency, because you're very regular. Okay? So try it out. Let me know how it goes. Feel free to make a version of it that works for you. It doesn't have to be a physical calendar on the wall. Whatever works for you, but find some way to do it. If you have any questions, let me know in the comments. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, and also get a free course in the links in the description. Yes, absolutely. Soft drop of water can dig a big hole, hard rock by consistency. I agree with that completely. That is absolutely true, in my opinion. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm going to close this door because I'm hearing all kinds. I don't know if you guys are hearing that. We got major baby sounds downstairs. All right. There's laughter happening. I mean, laughter is good, right? But my newborn son is taking a bath, and his grandma is probably just playing with him or something, making a lot of noise. I hear downstairs, which is what I do when I play with him too. So. All right. Okay. Almost no people speak English around me. Yes, you have to create your own. You have to create an environment for yourself. And that environment doesn't have to be only talking with people. You can practice with ChatGPT. You can watch movies and TV shows. You can join online communities. You can join online book clubs. You can, meetup groups are fantastic for discussions. You can play online video games and talk to people that way. There are always ways to build out an environment, an immersive environment for yourself. There are ways, and you have to figure out which ways are best for you, right? That's the key. That is the key. All right. Okay. Shall we move on? I'm going to, if you give me a second, just pull up my phone on my screen because we're going to be exploring Elsa Speak from a different lens. All right. So let me just do this thing where I share my screen, my phone screen, so that we can look at this together. So a couple years ago, I did a review of an app called Elsa Speak, and that video has actually become somewhat popular. Let's see how many views that video has. Just curious. Elsa Speak. Let's see. Whoa, okay. Look at this. Look at this. If you search Elsa Speak on YouTube, the first one has nothing to do with Elsa Speak. It's a sponsored video. The second one is complete guide, how to use Elsa Speak. The third video is my video. It's got 157,000 views. And I was just testing it. It wasn't even a full review because I was just testing it out, almost playing with it. So there's a new feature in Elsa Speak that I want to test out, that I want to play with. And this is not sponsored. I'm not sponsored by Elsa Speak. And so if something is good, I'll say, this is cool, this is good. And if something is bad, I'll say, this is bad, this sucks. I'll be honest because I have no reason not to be honest. All right. All right, here we go. Here we go. I'm not sure if the audio is going to work on this, but let's pop over here. Here we go. So here we are in Elsa speak, and right at the top, your personal English AI tutor is waiting. Cool. Chat now. Let's do it. Let's test it out. I gotta know.
Hi. Welcome to Elsa AI. You have 2 free role plays left.
Okay.
Please select one of the following role plays.
All right, so let's try it out. Let's see which one of these role plays should I do. I could do catch up with a friend, talk to a salesperson, interview. Let's do catch up with a friend. I feel like that one's a pretty common situation. So let's do catch up.
You're catching up with a friend you haven't seen in a while. Use this opportunity to catch up and ask how they're doing. During the conversation, you should also share what's been happening in your personal and professional life.
Got it.
It's so good to see you. How've you been?
Okay, so all I have to do is tap to speak. What I'm not sure is, and this kind of always bothers me, do I just tap and then speak, or do I have to hold to speak? I'm assuming it's just tap and then speak, and then tap again when I'm done. Because that's what it says. It doesn't say hold. But anyway, I feel like the prompt so far, the prompt is good, right? I know what we're talking about. I've been given a recommendation, not just say hello, but to say, to give me a kind of goal, right? The goal is I want to try to share what's going on with me. That's a challenge I've been given. Now, it may or may not be a good idea to give me a few recommended phrases I can use, like saying, I've been, right? Something like that. But all right, let's just see how it goes, right? By the way, the voice is obviously very natural sounding. So that's a big win. I've been pretty good recently, getting a little bit bogged down at work because we have some end of year thing going on. But I R handle it well in my views. I will probably looking for another job at beginning next year. And maybe I taking a short career break. So I just made some mistakes. Let's see if my mistakes
are
represented.
Oh, wow. I had no idea you were feeling burnt out at work.
Yeah, okay.
That's tough, but it's also really great that you're putting yourself first and prioritizing your mental health. Do you have any fun plans for the career break?
Career break is, by the way, a weird phrase, so don't pay any attention to. I'm intentionally making some weird mistakes. There's a reason for that, just to be very clear. I want to see if this tutor can catch things, can give me specific recommendations. So we're really going to test this out. So if you hear me say things that are incorrect or you hear me use any odd pronunciation, I'm testing it. We're testing it here, okay? Put it through its paces. Do you have any fun plans for the career break? That's a good question. I think I may go to travel to the Egypt and see the other part of the Africa. And maybe I starting a new hobby at the home. Recent time, I is very interesting in the woodwork skill, make the table.
Oh, that sounds like a great plan. I've always wanted to travel to Egypt. And starting a new hobby is always a good way to unwind and relax. Have you looked into any classes or workshops for woodworking?
So this is interesting, even though what I said was not super clear and I had some obvious pronunciation issues. By the way, doing a Chinese English accent, because that's the only one I know how to do. So no offense intended. I do it out of love. I do it out of love. Just happen to have the most experience with that one personally. but it picked up what I'm trying to say, which is good, and is able. Here's another thing that's good about the conversation. The conversation is flowing. It's asking good follow-up questions. My AI teacher is not giving a ton of recommendations, hopefully because I will get those at the end of our lesson, right? So it's sort of a, that's interesting what you said. I understand what you said, giving a few details based on what I said to show that it does understand, then asking a follow-up question. So it's actually doing, I think, a pretty good job, to be honest, of tracking the conversation, keeping it moving, getting me talking. But let's give it another challenge. No. I haven't.
Well, it might be worth looking into. I know there are some great resources for learning woodworking online, and you might even be able to find some local classes or workshops to attend. Either way, it's great that you're exploring new interests and taking time for yourself.
So now what I'm testing is, how does it push me or continue the conversation when I'm not giving enough? Can it change directions? Can it push me in another direction that I might have more to say about? Or can it push me in a direction that I might be able to talk more about? So if a conversation topic kind of runs dry, it kind of asked me a yes-no question there. So now I'm testing how well it can get me talking, basically. And I will answer a more sort of open-ended question if I'm asked a good one. It's great. Okay, so now I have no question to answer, but I could just say, thank you. I recently didn't prioritize my personal interesting, but now I realize hobby and personal interesting is important, not just working all time.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's important to have a healthy balance between work and personal life. And I'm glad to see you're taking steps towards that.
Okay, so now I'm feeling like, you know, as a person in this conversation, we're running out of things to talk about. What should happen here, and this is for the first time I'm feeling a little disappointed in the experience, for the first time I'm feeling like I don't know what to say. What I want is for Elsa to now ask me a question about an open-ended question about something else, maybe connected to the basic idea or changing direction slightly, even going back to the beginning and asking me, you know, what else is new, or something about something more general that has nothing to do with this thread we're on. So I feel like we've followed this thread to its end. And now if I'm not a creative or proactive learner, I'm just sitting here going, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? So this would be my feedback to the team of, don't let this happen. If you want engagement, you guys have to know how to keep a conversation going in a natural way. You've got a great experience here of creating a conversational thread around a topic and asking open questions, but it has too quickly dissolved, right? So let's see what happens if I ask it to ask me questions. Could you please ask me some more questions about myself so that I can practice my English?
Sure, I'd love to. How about you tell me about your favorite hobbies or things to do in your free time?
So again, it's kind of forgotten what we're supposed to talk about. We're two friends catching up over coffee, so it's sort of forgotten the project. We're at a coffee shop. Would we just talk about our favorite hobbies at a coffee shop? Probably not, because we're catching up, right? So, all right. I'll answer this one, and then I'm going to ask it to give me feedback. If it's a lesson, if it's a role play, I want feedback, right? Well, I like to play golf, and I enjoy hiking, especially hiking near my home and in the mountains. Challenging hikes can be fun, but not when the weather is too hot or too cold. And recently, I like to sit and have a cup of tea and read a good book.
Those all sound like great hobbies. What's the most interesting book you've read recently?
So now we can go down this track. I'm not going to burden you with that. I'm not going to burden myself with that. It's a good question. Okay, it's a fine question. However, I do feel like it could just kind of die out, right? And the other thing is, it's not clear to me, because now we're talking about hobbies. Are we still in this sort of role play that we were having or not? Or now are we just doing a random conversation? Is this part of a lesson where at the end I'm going to have feedback? I would also like to see something visual here that tells me, in addition to sort of keeping it on track around the theme of the conversation, it would be great to have something visual that tells me that there are, you know, either a couple minutes left or, you know, a few more questions or just one more question. Then they ask me one more question and then I answer and then I get some sort of end of class feedback, right? That would be useful. But, I'm conflicted because it has this great potential and it's a good experience, but I'm kind of disappointed by the quality of the conversation and I'm not sure about the feedback because I haven't had any yet. I don't want to answer this question. Since this is for my English practice, do you think you could give me some specific feedback to improve?
Sure, I can definitely help with that. I noticed that you sometimes struggle with finding the right words or phrases to express your thoughts. One way to improve this is by reading more English books or articles and practicing your writing. Another thing to keep in mind is to focus on using more descriptive language, like adjectives and adverbs, to give more detail to your sentences. Finally, keep practicing speaking in English as much as you can, whether it's with friends, family, or even just practicing by yourself.
Yes, those are fine recommendations in general, but it's too generic. What you want is to, you know, pick out five things that I specifically said. Elsa speaks secret sauce's pronunciation, so pick out 3 points of pronunciation. I was saying something and that. Pick out a few of those and say, hey, you know, I noticed that you struggled with these specific sounds. Here's how you said it. You listen to that. Here's how you could say it. You listen to that. And here are also some odd phrasing choices that you made. This one, and this one, maybe 3 of those. And here's what you should say. So to give some actionable feedback, this is very generic. Okay. Now, maybe I'm going to get that, but it's not clear because I've had to ask for it. Maybe I can click this tips thing. Maybe this will give me that. No. Maybe this will. Let's see what happens if I finish
role play. Role play completed. Well
Maybe
done.
Maybe I'll get some end of
We
end
are
of
computing
sort of
your
end
feedback.
End of lesson feedback here. Please, 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 please. What's going to happen? All right. Assessment summary. Pronunciation advanced, vocabulary intermediate, grammar advanced. Okay, well, this, okay. Your language skills are good, but you can improve in finding the right words and using descriptive language. Although you gave adequate responses and express your thoughts clearly, try to elaborate more, reduce the use of filler words, and sound more confident in your... That's very general. I need something specific. Full assessment. Come on, give me something specific here. Give me something specific. Give me something specific. Your tone was polite and respectful. Okay. This is pretty generic. I'm sorry, this is generic. Great job. You have an advanced level pronunciation. Pay attention to your pronunciation of words the and your and career as you struggled with them. But if I can't hear the correct one, I would like to hear myself how it sounded and then hear the correct version, which the Elsa Speak, I believe, does have as a main feature in their main app. Oh, just very generic. The tabs are specific. The content is generic. Okay. Well, I guess I can give a general sort of, not verdict, but thought. And that would be, this has so much potential. Elsa Speak is a cool app that has really useful tools to identify issues with pronunciation in particular. I realize that this is a new thing that they're exploring. The difficulty is, if it's not a very compelling experience from the beginning, it's hard to build users and get people to recommend it. If there were an AI English teacher that was a little smarter in how it conducted the conversation, that could know that it is still in a role play about being in a coffee shop catching up, and could keep the conversation going no matter what, giving some idea of this is a lesson kind of, and it's going to come to an end. It's not going to go on forever. A sort of finite experience. And then give actionable feedback based on specific things that were said in an actionable way. You said this. Listen to it. Here's how it should sound. Got it? Career. This is how you said it. Listen, I can hear my own voice. This is how you said it, and this is how it should be. Listen, practice, right? And then dive into the other Elsa Speak sort of modules to practice those words. And the same for grammar and speaking. You said, and then this odd phrase, right? I am interesting. I am interesting is incorrect because instead you should say, I am interested in. That is the more natural way to say that. If you just give me a bunch of those that I can review in an actionable way, this is going to be a powerful experience. For now, it's not. For now, it's quite generic. But I haven't seen others that are better, really, except for Call Annie, because in Call Annie, you can create your own teacher, set rules, and practice live. And that's pretty cool. So Call Annie so far is the most compelling experience. Call Annie is the coolest one that I've tested so far. But we'll see. Anyway, if you try this out, let me know what you think. Elsa people, feel free to get in touch if you want to talk about this. I might be able to help, shape the experience a little bit. If you need any help, let me know. If you haven't already done so, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe. And also, get a free course in the links in the description. Okay. Oh, thank you so much for recently following. I appreciate that. How do I get the Elsa app? I believe it's just called Elsa. Elsa Speak is what it's called. Elsa Speak. It's a cool app. I'll be honest. It's cool. It's a good app. I like it. But if you're going to do the AI thing, you gotta do it right, you know. You gotta do it right. You gotta do it right. Okay. Well, that is all. That is all for this week, for today, for now. If you want to get in touch or have questions or whatever, you can join the Discord for free in the links in the description. Grab a free course in the links in the description. Get 30% off the monthly membership for the first 12 months. Access to all the courses. That's right. All the courses on the website. Check that out too. Check out the audio version if you want to do that. Or if you're listening and you want to watch YouTube and Facebook, just search Cloud English. My name is Luke. Thanks again for joining. I hope you have a safe and happy rest of the day, rest of the week, rest of the month, rest of the year, whatever it is. See you next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye. See you, everybody. Bye.